Hari Hari. I am very honored, grateful, and happy to be with all of you again in this glorious place of pilgrimage, Bhaktivedanta Manor, the abode of Sri Radha Gokulananda. Thank you for coming. I'm sorry for being late, but on this subject, I'm almost perpetually sorry for being late. For any of you who know me, I'm sorry though. I would like to share with you a story I have told several times since the event in which it happened. Very sweet. Very highly cultured phone. Playing Indian ragas on the flute. But we are not so cultured, so better you turn the ringer on silent. Every year from Mumbai, our Bhaktivedanta Hospital goes to Barsana, which is a village in Braj Bhumi, quite close to Vrindavan. And this is the village where Srimati Radharani has established her eternal home. In fact, in Goloka, the spiritual world, her home descends into the land of Barsana. Could everyone hear? Could you hear now?
Yes.
Should I repeat or did no need? Every year our devotees from Bhaktivedanta Hospital go to perform seva or service to the people of Barsana. We understand that Para Upakar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells that the highest welfare work is that which inspires, enlivens the Atma, the soul. That which awakens prema or love for Krishna from within. Because that love is our real health. It's our eternal, natural, constitutional position to love God and to serve God. But since time immemorial, we cannot see that Krishna is the source of everything that exists. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva majante mam buddha bhava samanvita. Krishna tells that I'm the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly, naturally they engage in my loving devotional service with all their hearts. Because when you love someone, you see everything in relation to your beloved. You see everything in every situation is an opportunity to please your beloved. This is spiritual love. But unfortunately, we cannot understand Krishna within our own hearts. We cannot understand Krishna within everyone's heart. We cannot understand how everything in nature is a glorious opportunity for devotional service due to avidya or ignorance. Ignorance is like a cataract that is on our eye. The eye is good, and whatever is outside of the eye, it's seeable. But due to the cataract, everything is foggy. Either we become blind, or everything becomes distorted. But when we remove the cataract of ignorance from the heart, then we can see everything in our own natural way. That is the perfection of life. To see ourselves as Jivara Swarupoi Krishnara Nityadas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this was the first principle in which he established his entire incredible volumes of teachings to Sri Sanatana Goswami. That the jiva, the atma, the soul, is by nature the eternal servant of Krishna. And from that basis, he goes into the entire philosophy of bhakti. And interestingly, all the great bhakti acharyas, they explain the principle of the oneness of the absolute truth. Sripad Shankaracharya, he taught the Advaita philosophy, that the absolute is one and everything is one. There is no separation. But then Sri Ramanujacharya, he came to teach Vashishta Advaita. He agrees, yes, the absolute was one and everything is one. But within that oneness, there is infinite variegatedness to facilitate loving devotional service eternally. And Vishnu Swami taught Shuddha Dvaita, pure oneness. Yes, the absolute truth, but the purest understanding of that oneness is to understand the eternal form and the eternal pastimes of all the infinite living entities within that oneness. How is it all one? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from the Dvaita philosophy, he synthesized Vashishta Dvaita, Shuddha Dvaita, Advaita, Dvaita, and all of these different systems of philosophy into Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Just like the sun is one, but the sun has infinite sun rays. And each sun ray is qualitatively one with the sun, but quantitatively apart. A part of the complete oneness. Om Purnam Adapurnam Idam. Krishna is the complete whole. And everything that emanates from him is perfect and complete. And within the oneness of the absolute is the infinite loving pastimes between the devotee and the Lord. In the realm of the understanding of Jivira Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas, that I am the eternal servant of the Lord. And this Srimad Bhagavatam proclaims to be the supreme perfection of dharma. Savai pung shang paro dharmo yato bhakti radhokshache ahaitaki aprati hata yayatma suprasitati. The supreme dharma, the supreme religion, the supreme occupation. There are many ways to define dharma. The supreme understanding of our intrinsic nature is loving service to the all-attractive, all-beautiful Lord. So service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted. Unmotivated by egoism, by selfishness, by one's own agendas. And uninterrupted by any circumstantial situation that may come before us. In the world of dualities, there will be heat and cold. There will be health and disease. There will be honor and dishonor, fame and infamy, success, failure, victory, defeat. life, birth, death. It's interesting because I recently heard about the sad news of how Krishna had taken away 8 of our devotees while they were on pilgrimage. And not more than a minute or two later, some mother with a little baby was asking me to put the first grains in the baby's mouth. It's the nature of the world. And then I got news a couple minutes later that one lady gave birth and wanted me to give a name. Birth, death. Dualities of material nature are always coming. But our loving service to the Lord, to please the Lord, is our eternal occupation, our eternal religion, our true nature. Cheto dharapanamarajanam bhavamahadavagni devapanam. This chanting of the holy names and associating with devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the essence of Dharma is to chant God's names, to serve the Lord's dear devotees, and to show compassion, kindness to all living beings. If we're not doing that, whatever rituals, whatever austerities, whatever vows, they have actually no spiritual meaning unless they are bringing us closer to this essence, to taste the sweetness of the holy names, to taste the sweetness of serving the Lord's devotees, and to actually be an instrument of Guru and Krishna's kindness to every living being. Every living being that we see, that we don't see, in our actions, in our words, in our prayers. That is Dharma. And that is who we are. That is what is within us. But somehow it is covered by this cataract of ahankar, the false ego. So our sadhana is to remove that cataract. And our seva is to help others to remove that cataract. So back to the beginning of our talk, we go to Barasana to remove cataracts in a very physical way, but I have been explaining the symbolic significance of it. Because these are all Brijabasis. Most of the people who come live in very, very simple villages. In fact, we have our Sri Dama Prabhu and Kishori Devi. They are very active in going to the villages to inform people about the seva that we are trying to do. Would you like to take over the lecture, Sri Dama? He doesn't want it. So here I am. You are stuck with me. These people are really poor from a physical perspective. And if they don't have money for a surgery, they go blind from untreated cataract, which is the number one reason for the tremendous amount of blindness in India. People simply don't have the awareness or the funds to treat the cataracts. And most of these Brijabasis, they only want their eyes so that they could see the deity of Krishna and so that they can be equipped to serve Krishna and the devotees of Krishna. So it's a seva to the Brijabasis. It's a dham seva. About 1,000 get operated every year, and about 3,000 are treated. So I was there this year, and we had an interesting guest. One of my very dear friends, his name is Shyam Das. He's American-born, but he's a very great scholar of Sanskrit and of ragas, and a very prominent person in the Pushti Marg, the sampradaya coming down from Sripad Vallabhacharya, and a very well-known kirtan singer in the West, and every day does his puja and his sadhana for many hours. So he has a home at Govardhan, and it just so happened that his mother, Gloria, was visiting him. And his mother is a very, very well-to-do person. I've been to her house. She has photographs of her with President Eisenhower. Another photograph with President Kennedy. The next photograph where she's arm-in-arm with President Johnson, President Nixon, President Ford, President Carter, President Reagan, President Clinton, and all the Bushes and everyone else as far as I know. There may be some inaccuracies, but that's what it looked like to me. And then there was with Paul Newman and various great Hollywood stars. And then there was a photograph of Look magazine cover that was Life and Look were the number one most popular magazines in all of America. And it had a photo of her, big photo on the cover. And then the title was something like The Most Influential Woman in American Politics. She was a Secretary of State for the state of Connecticut. She ran for state for Senate, federal government. And she was the head of a whole cabinet of President Carter's administration. I think atomic energy or something. So she's a very, very wealthy, very sophisticated. She's like the top class of within, you know, the social realm of the United States of America. And she has beautiful house and lakes and just extremely successful. She came to Vrindavan. And then she came to the Bhadrasana eye camp to see us with her sister and Shyam Dasji, her son, and a couple others. And we were walking around, and I don't know if she has ever seen such poverty. These people are really, really materially poor. And as she was getting a tour, I was walking around and meeting the different doctors and volunteers. There's over 100 volunteers and patients. And there was, you know, there's different rooms, and in each room it's filled with these Brijbasis, just kind of waiting to get operated or waiting to get diagnosed. So one particular room, there was probably about 20 really old ladies. And one who was near the door was a very tiny lady. She was maybe 4'6" or something. I didn't measure her, but she was really small. She looked so old. She told me she was 83, if I remember right. But really, she looked so much older than 83. She had an old, faded, tattered sari, and her face, the wrinkles were so deep. She just looked so beaten physically. Very skinny. she was just sitting there, and she looked so sad. So I asked her about her life, and she told me. Would you like to hear?
Nemo!
Thank you. She said that in the recent years, her husband died. All of her children died. Whatever relative she had died. She had no one, nothing. And because she was so old and she has two massive cataracts in her eyes, she can't really see. She can't work. So she just lived in a simple little hut, and they took it away from her because she couldn't pay bills. So she had no home. I guess she was living on the streets. And she's so old and she can't see. And she lost everything. And with great emotion and tears, she said, for a long time, till today, I have only one prayer. I only want one thing in my life from Krishna. She said she prays, please take one of these cataracts out of my eyes so that I can make rotis for Srimati Radharani. That's all she wants. She's not asking for a house. She's not asking for a family. She said, my only prayer is that I could just see so that I can make rotis and offer them to Sri Radha. And then she said, and you people are going to take this cataract out and enable me to do my seva. She became so happy in this little room. She got up and started dancing and singing this Brijabasi song about Radharani's love and kindness, and she was going like this, and all she got all the ladies, all the 20 ladies to get up and dance with her. And they all knew the song. Everyone was singing the song together. It's such a beautiful, sweet song. I could only understand Radharani's name was every couple words. And Krishna's name. They were dancing, they were singing. She was blissful because she was going to be soon, she was so grateful that she could once again make some rotis and offer them to Sri Radha. So simple. And she went out and out of the room. It was like a Sankirtan party. She got everyone dancing in the room. She went out of the room. He went into the main area, like the main lobby thing of that floor. And there, Gloria was there with all of her guests from America who were kind of looking at things and taking some photos. And this Brijabasi lady came right up to Gloria and looked at her in the face with such intense hospitality or something. Looked at her in the face and smiled and went, you know, Haribo, Haribo, and started going like this. Dancing, practically ordering this distinguished, sophisticated millionaires from America to dance with her. And Gloria, who has such a loving, kind heart, actually, she started dancing. She's 83 too. They're both the same age, 83. And they were dancing together. One was dressed very nicely, one was very raggedly, one was very dark, one was very light. One was a great politician, and business lady, and the other was a simple villager who had nothing. They were dancing. Beautiful. It's on video. Somebody videoed this beautiful dance. And Gloria was telling me this was one of the most special moments of her life. Because these things, they move our hearts. They penetrate all the trivialities that are collected in our minds and actually touch our hearts and awaken something within that experience. What is real wealth? Real wealth is premadan, the purusharta siromani, the crest jewel of all wealth. Is to love Krishna, to taste the sweetness of Hari Katha, Hari Kirtan, Hari Darshan, and seva to the Vaishnavas. And ultimately, that's where our stability lies. Because this world is constantly changing. The predominating deity, the predominating force of the entire material existence is kala, time. Can't see it, can't smell it, can't touch it, can't taste it. But yet time is in the process of burning out the sun, evaporating every ocean, dissolving all the planets. And what to speak of our little physical bodies? Krishna manifested the Virat Rupa to Arjuna and said, time I am. Or even the greatest, most heroic warriors were being consumed by time. And it's so fascinating how time does it. In one sense, if we see how time works from one perspective, it's really depressing. Because it's absolutely 100% unconditionally guaranteed that you will die. And everything will die. And whatever we have will be lost. Yes? It's kind of depressing, isn't it? But from another perspective, if we understand na jayate mriyate va kadachit na hanyate hanyamane sarire, that the Atma, the living force within us, is eternal, undying, unfazed by birth or death. And we are that Atma. And all of our loved ones, what we love is the Atma. Without the Atma, the body's a dead corpse. It's that Atma we love. When a child comes into this birth, it's the Atma that we fall in love with in that little baby. Because it's the life of the baby. And when someone leaves us in this world, it's the Atma that has left us. The body's still there for some time. So to understand this principle, the real wealth of the Atma is in bhakti, devotional service. And the greatness of life, neha bikramanaso sti pratyavayo navidyate, is how we invest in the account of bhakti, the account of loving devotion. Because that can never be lost until we attain ultimately that liberated state where there's nothing, there's no cataract any longer between us and our vision of Krishna. our love for Krishna. When you see Krishna, you love Krishna. Because Krishna is infinitely attractive. Whatever beautiful things we become enchanted by in this world, it is only an insignificant spark, reflected spark of Krishna's unlimited attractive qualities. Rupa Goswami tells us, he warns us, if you are attached to your body and your home and your family and all of the things connected, don't go to Keshi Ghat on bank of Yamuna. Because there Govinda is standing in his threefold bending forms with his beautiful lotus-like eyes and his curling hair circling his moon-like face, which is the beautiful complexion of a monsoon cloud. And it's bedecked with a dazzling peacock feather and the kunja mala around his neck and vajayanti mala. Wonderful forest flowers from the desire trees of Vrindavan. These flowers, they don't wilt. They don't lose their fragrance. Going down to his knees. And with his sparking lips, which are red like a bimba fruit, the moonlight is reflecting off of those lips as he's playing upon his flute. And the love of his heart is manifesting through his breath into the flute to make a song to completely enchant us, enchant the soul forever. That vision is our nature. It's the ultimate aspiration, the ultimate wealth. And it's the ultimate stability. Because yes, this world, influenced by time, everything is changing. You can't hold on to anything for very long. Our life, our loved ones, or any situation. The more we expect things in this world, the more we will be inevitably frustrated. Krishna warns us, dukalayam ashashvatam, because everything's temporary in this world. Ultimately, if you become attached to the illusions of this world, you will suffer misery. Krishna tells us, from the highest planet in the material world, Brahmaloka, down to Patalaloka, there is suffering. We can't change that. Krishna does not say in the Gita that by loving him, by surrendering to him, the material energy will create a happy environment for us. He says, you will attain a state transcendental beyond the ever-changing existence of material nature. Sometimes people approach God really with the expectation that material things are just going to start going right because Krishna is the supreme controller of all controllers. But Krishna tells us it's not like that. If he made everything nice for us in the material world, then we would never really have the impetus to deeply experience the real treasure of the heart. We would be distracted. We're already so distracted. We would be endlessly distracted. So this ever-changing world, our stability is in connecting with the divine potential that is within us, our love for Krishna. In our connection and our relations with each other as eternal souls is realized when there's love for Krishna. Just like a storm. I have gone to many places in my 61 years crawling around this planet and seen many things. I've gone to places that have just been devastated by hurricanes, cyclones, tornadoes. And all these trees, most trees are just knocked to the ground. Many are just uprooted. When he snap. But the big trees that have deep roots, the hurricane can bend it. The hurricane can harass it. But because of the roots, it's stable. So similarly in this world, where storms, it's not if they come, it's when they come. If we have deep roots within the ground of our spiritual realization, we can be stable. And even in the sadness of this world, we can experience an ecstatic bliss that is deeper and beyond all this, because we're seeing beyond all these changes. We're seeing the soul, the Atma, in ourselves, in others, and we're seeing the blessings and the mercies of Krishna everywhere. And on one level, we are affected in a very sad way by the pathetic things that happen. And on another level, we're seeing there is something beautiful happening beyond it for those who love Krishna, for those who aspire to love Krishna. And that connection comes through our faithfulness in associating with people who have that deep grounded realization. Sadhu Sangam. Association with great souls. It is the basis of our spiritual progress. If we're well grounded through that association, then naturally we will take very seriously the path of bhakti. We will cultivate seriously our relationship with the holy name. I believe today His Holiness Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj was giving a lecture and workshop on japa, chanting the holy names. Japa is so deeply emphasized by the acharyas. Srila Prabhupada tells us when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to South India, his devotees said, "We want to go with you." And the Lord said, "I want to go myself. You will all disturb me." He's talking to Lord Nityananda and who else was there at the time? Mukunda, Damodar Pandit. They said, "Well, just take, if you don't want us, take somebody, because when you're traveling, you're going to be carrying your water pot, and you have to carry an extra kopan, and one hand will be chanting japa, and the other will be counting the names you chant." So Prabhupada tells us, Lord Chaitanya was, japa was very important. Haridas Thakur, the Namacharya, in his japa, he chanted 300,000 names a day. What to speak of his kirtan? Whenever he wasn't chanting japa, he was doing kirtan, going out into the streets or into the villages. And the six Goswamis, they would chant at least 100,000 names a day. They would write books. They would excavate and discover holy places. Kirtan is so sacred. Sankirtan. The Bhagavatam describes those who have intelligence in this age of Kali Yuga, good intelligence. Krishna Varnam Vishakrishnam. Will worship the Lord who comes not in his ordinary blackish complexion. Our acharyas interpret this verse that Krishna comes in a beautiful golden complexion in the role of a devotee to teach us the process in this age. Harinam Sankirtan, chanting of the holy names. We chant together, either in small groups. Lord Chaitanya taught people in Navadvip, if you have instruments, you play mrdangas, you play kartals, you play whatever instruments. If you don't have instruments, clap your hands. It could be just one of you. Or if you have a friend, two of you. Or if your whole family joins you, the whole family. Or if the whole village, wherever. Just chant these holy names of Krishna. That will cleanse your heart and awaken love for Krishna. Love for every living being. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw somebody chanting, he would bow down to them. Aham Bija Pratapita, the Supreme Father, Mother of all living beings, the Creator of all that exists, the source of Mahavishnu, the source of Shiva, the source of all the various incarnations. The husband of the goddess of fortune is bowing down to us when we sincerely chant the names. And he would embrace those people and with tears in his eyes, thank them for chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Much louder, please.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
That's the way we're supposed to chant. Like a baby crying for mother. We all did it a little superficially, but with Krishna through that child is telling us, this is it. Perfect timing. So, I'm just trying to make the father and mother feel good as they're running out of the temple. But it's true also. In kirtan, it brings us all together. Real kirtan, sankirtan, is when all of us, we're so centered, we're so focused in offering Krishna our hearts through chanting, that all of our hearts become one for that purpose. As we're singing Krishna's names. That is real Sankirtan. When we chant like that, we can change the whole world. When we can give up our egoism, give up our arrogance toward each other, give up our envy toward one another, give up our prejudices toward one another, give up our superficial differences with one another, those things will always, superficial differences will always be there. And if we don't focus our relationship on the higher principle of becoming one heart for Krishna, then these superficial differences appear to us to be like Himalayan mountains, immovable differences. If we focus our consciousness on the higher principle of devotion, the most difficult situations become almost irrelevant. We just deal with them. But if we don't have that higher perspective, a grain of sand will appear to be Mount Everest, Mount Sumeru to us. So in this way, Sankirtan is when we all come together with beautiful melodies, or not beautiful melodies. Everything's beautiful when it's connected to the holy names. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the famous analogy of somebody was singing very beautiful and he brought in someone who really didn't know how to sing. He said, I want him. Not that the beautiful singer was not singing with love and devotion. He was. It wasn't anything, but he wanted to make a statement that it's not about the beauty of the singer. It's about the sincerity of the chanting of the holy names. There's no hard and fast rules. Everyone and anyone can do it. I remember where I was living as a pujari, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter. It wasn't directly to me, but it was to our community. And actually, everything Prabhupada says in every one of his books and every one of his lectures, we can all feel that it's directly for me. Because factually, it is. When Srila Prabhupada spoke to one person, he was speaking to the world through that person. Especially in his books. He wrote that real kirtan is when the singer is sincere and the chanters who follow are sincere. Then it is perfect kirtan. Then it will please Krishna. Our sincerity. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized the Sankirtan, coming together as a community. But we should understand the Sankirtan is so much more than just, you know, having issues with each other and then doing kirtan, enjoying for a few minutes, and then going out and dealing with the issues again. Real Sankirtan is when we actually become one in purpose with each other to glorify Krishna, crying out to rise above to these anartas, this ego, so that together we could love Krishna, so that together we can do beautiful things for the world, where we love each other's successes and we feel for each other's failures. Last time I was here, I quoted a great author. He wrote that it takes a great person to genuinely sympathize with another person's failures and difficulties. But it takes a much, much, much greater person to feel happiness in another person's success. Because usually we feel envious. To feel happiness when others are being empowered by Krishna, blessed by Krishna, successful in what they're doing. That happiness, in Krishna's eyes, is greatness. And Krishna will love us for that. He loves us anyway. But he will be pleased with us and reveal his love to us for that. That is Vaishnav, not envy. That's Sankirtan, when we come together with that motivation to share our love for Krishna and awaken our love for Krishna and share our love for Krishna with the whole world by loudly chanting his holy names. And we have say, and japa. Japa is so special. there's so much emphasis and priority given to japa for our life. How to balance our life in such a way that we can have quality japa. And japa is very special in many ways because there is no music. There is no beautiful instruments. There is no dancing. Japa is just Krishna, Sri Radha, and you. That's it. It's so intimate. If we only understand how intimate japa is, it's just me and Radha and Krishna. And by the blessings of Srila Prabhupada and our gurus, we've been given the holy names. We've been given this opportunity to connect. What a sign of love. What an offering of love japa could be. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. To absorb ourselves as far as possible, to immerse ourselves, to dive deeply into our meditation of Krishna and Radha who have appeared in their names. Nam Namakari Bahuta Nija Sarva Shaktis. Krishna has appeared in his name with all of his beauty, all of his power, all of his grace. Krishna's abode, Krishna's beautiful qualities, Krishna's associates, everything is there within Krishna's name. And in Sri Radha's name, her infinite grace is accessible. But what is the key to japa? What is the key to kirtan? What is the key to bhakti? Trinadapi sunichena. Taror ivasishnana. Amani namanadena kirtaniya sadahari. Unless we have good character, Krishna will not reveal the sweetness and beauty of his name to us, however well we try to chant. But if we live with this humility, this forgiveness, this tolerance, this willingness to offer respect to others, and then we sit down to honor and respect the gift, the blessing of the holy name. When we sit down for japa, it's being on the altar of Krishna in his most magnanimous form of Nam, Hari Nam. It's such a holy and sacred activity. The topmost altar of the holy name is manifesting within our hearts. And we are sitting on that altar, offering our love and of our devotion through trying to absorb ourselves completely in Krishna with grateful hearts. Through chanting God's names in kirtan japa, through associating with devotees who inspire our hearts, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. These are the ways we become deeply rooted in bhakti through the storms of the world. Srimad Bhagavatam is emphasized above all other scriptures in our Gaudiya Vaishnav tradition. And interestingly, all the stories of the Bhagavatam, practically most of them, the prominent ones, are stories of devotees going through unbelievable trials and difficulties. The Pandavas, Dhruvama, Parikshit Maharaj, cursed to die in 7 days. And he takes shelter of Krishna, becomes perfect, and leaves a legacy to make billions of people perfect for all time to come. How he transformed that difficulty into something incredible. Then there's little Dhruva, 4-year-old boy, who is absolutely devastated, heartbroken, and betrayed. the transformation that took place. And there's little Prahlad, the difficulties he underwent. Even the Lord himself was crying to see the difficulties of Prahlad and incarnated just for him. But why did the Lord allow Prahlad to go through so many difficulties? Why didn't he just come the first time Hiranyakashipu pushed him off his lap? He could have. He would have. But he wanted to show the world the glory of a devotee, how devotees pass through trials. And he's telling us, through these examples, you're going to have to face trials. This is how you do it. Then there was Ambarish. That was a pretty big trial, this massive fire demon coming to kill him. Hare Krishna, he just stood and prayed to Krishna, I'm yours, Krishna. And then he forgave and served the person who tried to murder him. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. Ranti Dave. He was dying of starvation and he gave his last glass of water to a chandala and prayed to Krishna, in every birth I take, let me give my life to help others. It was all a test. And the Brijavasis, every day demons were coming. And every day they were taking shelter of the Lord, and their love for Krishna was increasing, increasing, increasing with every situation. They didn't care about themselves, they just, Krishna. Their love for Krishna was increasing with every trial. So this is Bhagavatam. We need to take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, take shelter of the holy name, take shelter of the association of Vaishnavas, take shelter of the Murti. Krishna, who has appeared in this form. I was speaking a little before of how Lord Chaitanya told Sachimata that you are the mother. You are my mother, birth after birth. You were Kausalya. You were Aditi, the mother of Vamana. Kausalya, the mother of Ram. Prishnigarbha, the mother of Prishnigarbha. Devahuti, the mother of Kapila. You were Devaki Vasudev. Nanda Yashoda. Now you're my mother. And as Mother Earth, you are the mother of my deity form. Because the marble, the wood, come from Mother Earth. The deity is the incarnation of Krishna in this world. And then he said, and you are the mother of my holy names. Because as Mother Earth, you have created the tongue. And when the devotees, with their tongues, they chant Hare Krishna, I am being born, I am taking birth, I am appearing in the world through the holy names. Isn't that an incredible meditation? That is the reality. But we're just so dull, we don't experience it. Every time our tongue vibrates with sincere devotion, the name Krishna, Hari, Radha, Ram. The Lord is literally appearing, incarnating within the world in that sound vibration, purifying everything. This is how we should chant the holy names. When we take shelter of the eternity, the knowledge of the eternity of the soul, and connect it through these processes, we become stable in every situation. We feel the sorrows on this worldly level. We share the sorrows of this worldly level. But we're equipped to serve people in this situation. by helping to connect them to that world within that is beyond sorrow. That is the gift Srila Prabhupada has given to all of us. That is the gift that we should be sharing with each other always. That is community when we share this gift together. Above all differences, above all superficial challenges, we share this gift of Krishna Nam, Satsang, Srimad Bhagavat, deities, and going to the holy places. Our hearts are totally broken with sorrow that these devotees in the air crash have left us. But from their perspective, from the perspective of them, they went on a pilgrimage to Muktinath, the Lord of Mukti. Perhaps they didn't realize the extent of the pilgrimage they were going on. But going to a holy place with devotion and the incredible qualities of devotees that each and every one of those devotees had, we know for sure they went on an incredible pilgrimage back home, back to Godhead. According to Krishna's will, he will take them. And Krishna's will is always for the love of his devotees. Sorrow is there, tears are there, but in our hearts there is also gratitude and there is love. And we miss them in this world. And we feel such sadness for those who have been affected, including ourselves. But we see it from this perspective. Bhishma himself said, even the greatest philosophers cannot understand the inconceivable power of time. We can try to figure out the details, but we can never come to a real conclusion why things happen the way they happen in this world. But one thing we know absolutely for sure, that Krishna loves his devotees. And Krishna always protects his devotees. It is his promise. And that means he protects the Atma. He protects the soul. In life and in the inevitable departure from this life, from this body, however it may appear. That gives us infinite solace, stability, even in the most difficult times, however they may come. Thank you very much. I have a flight in a few minutes, and I'm getting very serious letters. Says it is now, and then in huge letters, 6:45. And then in small letters, PM Hare Krishna. So I'm supposed to leave by 6:45, but I can't leave without kirtan. So it's going to have to be a really short kirtan, and then I'm going to have to run away. But please raise your arms high, chant with great feelings. We'll offer this kirtan in great feeling to those who have departed in this recent event, for their families and friends. And after a couple minutes of that kirtan, we will dance to celebrate Krishna's grace in whatever it may come, and to celebrate the great success of their pilgrimage. Will you do? Thank you, because I seriously need encouragement also these days. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Please.